Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. In the last several weeks, we have been listening to Jesus as he speaks to his disciples. Soon he will be in Jerusalem, facing many trials. Today he says some rather concerning words, so listen to what he has to say and what they might mean for us today. Jesus said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It's going to rain.' And so it happens. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be a scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? God of all knowledge, quiet any voice inside of us besides yours, and may the words of my mouth honor you and you alone. Amen. Families. You can't live with them, and you can't live without them. I want you to do a little experiment with me. I want you to raise your hand if you have never had a disagreement or struggle in your family. Oh, come on. Okay, so do this. Raise your hand if there are subjects you cannot bring up at the dinner table with your extended family, say like at Thanksgiving. All right, raise your hand if someone in your family has a very strong opinion about something you disagree with. One more time. Raise your hand if you or someone else have ever gone more than 2 weeks without speaking to another family member because of a disagreement. John Roberts has both hands up, okay? Wow, I'm worried about you. No, I'm kidding. Families are complicated. We all know that. But it's funny how many of the TV shows that we watch about families, are about families and the many complications they face. So from Archie Bunker's squabbles with Meathead, as Archie affectionately called his son-in-law, to the trials of a blended family in The Brady Bunch, to the violence of The Sopranos, to the last time the light was turned off at the Waltons' home. Who remembers that? And do you remember what they said when the lights were turned out? "Good night, John Boy. Good night, John Boy. We love our TV families." Those are some of the old ones. But maybe our TV families help us to forget about the craziness we experience in our own families. After all, every family has a crazy aunt or uncle, and if you don't know who it is, it's probably you. Jesus addresses family in our text, and it's not the peace and the tranquility associated with the Waltons that he references. He speaks specifically about division and family members against other family members. And his words are not just about trials with the in-laws. It's about mothers against daughters and fathers against sons. In fact, this entire scripture passage reminds me more of John the Baptist than it does of Jesus, who is born meek and mild. In our passage, Jesus resorts to name-calling. He says, "You hypocrites," just as John called people brood of vipers. Later, John the Baptist tells his disciples, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So in our passage, Jesus seems to confirm these words of John by saying, "I came to bring fire to the earth. Do you think I have come to bring peace? No, I tell you, but rather division." Instead of meek and mild, we find a fired up Jesus in this passage. After all, he is on his way to Jerusalem. And he must have some sort of anxiety about what he's about to face. Perhaps we need to see a fired up Jesus so that we can understand that he says what he means and he means what he says. And after all, fire may not be such a bad thing. Lately, it seems we've seen so many destructive fires in this country, from Gatlinburg to California, and all in between. Fires sweep through forests and towns and destroy everything in their path. Homes and businesses are wiped out and lives are destroyed by terrible fires. However, fires are not all bad for forests. Forest fires help in the natural cycle of a forest's growth and replenishment. Seeds are scattered and dead trees are eliminated, and the forest floor is opened up to sun for new growth. The debris from the fire provides vital nutrients for new plants to grow. One could call it a cleansing of the forest. Jesus says, "I came to bring fire to the earth." Maybe the fire that Jesus speaks about is a cleansing fire. After all, Jesus did not come to promote the status quo. His end goal was not for the sake of harmony. He came to shake up the world, and in many ways, he literally turned the ways of the world on their head. For example, Jesus came as a helpless baby, rather than a conquering king, not what we would expect. He proclaims the meek will inherit the earth, not what we would expect, especially today. And in the greatest paradigm shift ever, he dies so that we don't have to die, and he conquers death in his resurrection. All these things we would not expect. One scholar comments, "Jesus did not come to validate the social realities and values that we have constructed. Such social realities and values have a propensity to seek a harmony that favors those who hold positions of power. at the expense of those who are powerless and expendable. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth. Then he says, I have a baptism with which to be baptized. We know Jesus has already been baptized by John the Baptist in the waters of the Jordan. But here he indicates he still has to be baptized. What could he be referring to? Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth. What if that fire is the Holy Spirit? One way of indicating the Holy Spirit is with those tongues of fire that were seen at Pentecost above people's heads. John baptizes with water, but proclaims that Jesus will come and baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. After all, Jesus came to bring God's Spirit and message and God's way to our world. God's Spirit, God's fire, works within us to transform us into new creatures who then go out into the world to shake up the status quo. We, through our baptism, through fire, transform the world from the status quo into a place where love and grace abound. God's Spirit and God's fire are poured out in our baptism. That Spirit in baptism claims us as God's own and pulls us into the body of Christ, the church, the community of faith, and transforms us into new creatures. We can't help but be changed by that Spirit and that knowledge of God's all-encompassing love. Having God's fire within us empowers us to take up challenges that we would otherwise have no ability to handle. One could say a fire has been kindled for good. It's a fire that will cleanse our world, hopefully, soon, of hatred and bigotry and greed and evil. Once we are transformed by this cleansing fire, we can no longer go back to our old lives. Jesus shakes us up like a fire in a forest shakes up the natural balance. We are called into a new way of being, into a new family, the family of God. Others may not understand or agree with our transformation. Loving everyone for who they are is not necessarily commonplace in our world. Jesus knows that his love and his acceptance of all people will not bring peace to the world. Sometimes, like a fire, it will bring pain. His love will actually split the world and even families. And Jesus laments this splitting and pain. He laments this division. When he says, what stress I am under until it is completed, he proclaims that stress and that angst. He feels that the world will be split until all is complete. That fire that Jesus brings comes at great cost to him as well. He says in this passage, clouds will rise and rain will come and the south wind will blow and there will be scorching heat. Jesus will suffer and he will die. Baptized by the fire of human sin. It is a trial by fire. But he will transform this fire into a fire of unquenchable love. And when we receive his life-changing, cleansing fire, we too will be transformed. His life-changing fire received at our baptism claims us and calls us to a new and transformed way of being. So in the Presbyterian tradition, we baptize babies before they can even know God. So why in the world? Why in the world would parents choose to baptize their children into a baptism of fire that can also harm? It can also cause division and pain as well as strength. Here is the reason, and it is so important for us to understand this. It's never about our individual baptism, my baptism, or your baptism, or his baptism, or her baptism. It is our collective baptism. In baptism, God claims us. Yes, we do not claim God. God puts God's hand on us of love. He claims us, God, as children of God, to be part of God's family, the church universal. Together, claimed as God's beloved children, we take that life-changing fire we've been given and we proclaim it to the world as the church. When God's cleansing fire brings division, we can face it together as a community of faith. Baptism and faith and love, these are never individual things because we can't do these things on our own. Baptism is from God into the beloved community. Faith is gained from being with others who have faith, and love could never happen without God loving us first. We all face division and stress and trials. I don't think I saw anyone who didn't raise their hand today. The good news of the gospel is that we can face these trials, these many difficulties in life, together. Called by God into faith, claimed by God in baptism, joined as children of God to face the blowing winds and the scorching heat and the fires, because our God will never, ever leave us to face these trials on our own. Thanks be to God. Amen.